But first of all, seeing as it's all so quiet in our assembly of devotees, then we can recite one verse which Gurudev glorified so much. It is a verse by Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami by Srila Bhakti Rokko Kshidhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, and glorified so much by Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. And our devotees present here have been given the task of learning that verse. So we can say it. We can say it together, perhaps. Or we can say it, okay, line after line. Bhagavad Bhaktitaha Sarvam. Ityutsrija Vidher Api. Ityutsrija Vidher Api. Kainkar Yang Krishna Padaika. Ashrayatvang Sharanagatihi. Ashrayatvang Sharanagati. And so everybody learnt it already, I understand. It is a verse from the first chapter of the Sri Sri Prapanajivanamritam, and seeing as we are reciting it, we'll also say the translation of it. Being governed by the faith that all success is achieved by serving the Supreme Lord, to abandon servitude to even scriptural injunctions and take exclusive refuge in the lotus feet of Sri Krishna in every time, place and circumstance is known as Sharanagati, unconditional surrender. And Srila Gurudev in the Revealed Truth book, the latest book by Srila Govinda Maharaj, he gives very high glorification to this verse, and he says that everything that we will ever need is in this one verse.
What does it mean exactly? Rejecting even scriptural regulations. What does it mean?
That the focus of our life must be service, 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 and that even if that means that we are not strict in the regulations, but our connection will be service with the faith that only serving Krishna, that is the summum bonum of everything. But in general, we are encouraged to follow the viddhi, the rules and regulations, but in certain circumstances, to leave the rules and regulations for the purpose of service, then that is a higher thing.
How it may be that for the service we should reject scriptural regulations, because all shastras say that we must serve. So what does it mean that we must reject scriptural regulations?
It does not say that you must reject.
Yes.
It said, but even crossing over those when there is the requirement for that seva, then even crossing over those, it is of the utmost importance, is faithful service. Sharanagati is surrender, full self-surrender, but as Gurudev says, not just surrender and lie down, but surrender and serve.
Does it mean Karmakanda section of scripture or some other things?
Say again?
It says in this verse that even if we reject some scriptural regulations, still if we serve, we achieve goal of our life. So what scriptural regulations it's mentioned here?
Guru Maharaj,
is Karmakanda section or some other?
There are many regulations. Mm. Many regulations, including starting in the morning. As soon as you wake up, then you brush your teeth, you bathe, and then do so much archanam and so many things to begin your day in a auspicious way. But in Jagannath Puri, when Mahaprabhu himself came with the Jagannath Prasadam to Swarup Damodar, then Swarup Damodar, he immediately upon waking early in the morning with Mahaprabhu at the door, how many people wake up with Mahaprabhu knocking on the door? But when he woke up, then immediately he honored the Mahaprasadam coming from the temple. So he abandoned the rules and regulations of, oh, first of all, yes, I will take it, put it on the side. First, I will brush my teeth, I will bathe, I will chant my Gayatri, I will make invocations for the day. That would be following the scriptural regulations. So we can begin at the beginning of the day and throughout the day. I mean, so many regulations are given in the scripture of how to behave. But what we can do is just read that part. If I have it handy here, which I don't. I don't immediately have it handy here.
Another question is how not to exploit this verse. That's another one.
Through sincerity. What we do must be done with sincerity. And to exploit. The thing is, the mind wants to always find an easy way. The mind is looking for some excuses. But actually, we want to do everything as has been given in the example of our gurus, that what we will be doing, we'll do with sincerity in service. So that doesn't mean that we get some allowance to do wrong. It's not that, oh, everybody will do wrong. In Sri Guru and His Grace, there is one part which we've seen devotees sometimes try to take advantage of, where one devotee said, oh, I've been practicing spiritual life for so many years and chanting Hare Krishna, following all the rules and regulations, I have no difficulty, I'm following everything except one. I cannot give up smoking ganja. And in Guru Maharaj's reply, which is there, then Srila Guru Maharaj answering him, saying, actually, that is a small thing in comparison with the real things to give up. The male, and then he gives the example, the male, female, the sex attraction, it is there in all species, whether the mouse, the bird, the insect, all the way through. This is something which is very deeply ingrained with the conditioned soul. And this is the real challenge, to give up so many things which are deeply ingrained within the living soul. And to give up intoxication, he said, it's like mushrooms. It doesn't have a solid foundation in the world as such, whereas the attraction for the opposite sex, etc., is deeply rooted within our nature. So it is an easy thing to uproot a mushroom. It has basically no roots. But then we've seen how displeased Gurudev was. Displeased but tolerating. But when devotees will use Guru Maharaj's reply as an excuse, Gurudev was not happy with that. He can understand, okay, people cannot give up some of these things, but not to quote Guru Maharaj and say, oh, it is a small thing, therefore you can do it. It is not what Guru Maharaj was mentioning. He's saying it's a small thing, therefore you can easily give it up. So we've seen in that example, and we've seen so many things. We don't want to be trying to find excuses for doing wrong. But if sometimes there is some necessity to cross the rules and regulations, as we said just now, then for taking the prasharam, as soon as you're woken up by Mahaprabhu, if Mahaprabhu comes knocking on your door, then you may think you can give up washing your teeth and taking your bath and chanting your Gayatri first.
So as the general mood and practice should be, if we understood properly, is to try and follow rules and regulations, yes, as much as possible. But if there is absolute necessity in service, then we can forfeit those regulations and those rules for, yes, the sake of the service.
Yes. And remember that the emphasis of this verse, I mean, it's saying even to cross during necessity, but the actual essential part of this verse is to have full faith that service to the Lord, by doing that in surrender, then everything will be accomplished. And then is emphasizing even more by adding this statement, by making this statement there. I can mention here, I can read here from the book. And here, amongst our little community that's here, or quite big community, we have a good gathering here. and others nearby. We have read this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, but there is no harm to hear again and again, because this is the emphasis of Srila Gurudev, of the importance of this short verse. Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj saying, in a verse from his Prapanajivanamritam, Srila Guru Maharaj has given us a very nice, clear explanation of Sharanagati. That is a perfect jewel that you cannot find anywhere else. So it's a perfect jewel that you cannot find anywhere else. It is the most essential prescription given anywhere for everyone to enter the transcendental service world. If you can memorize just this one verse and put it in your heart, then you will receive everything ever given in the scripture. Now, that's a pretty high recommendation for a verse. I mean, extreme. And then the verse is, for us all to memorize, Bhagavad Bhaktitaha Sarvang Ityutsrijya Vidher Api Kainkar Yang Krishna Padaika Ashayatvang Charanagatihi. You see, I remember it this time. And some of you here can say it very fluently. I know. At least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many can say it fluently? Put up your hands. We have 40 hands here. All right. Anyway, I started reading this and saying this because it was the first thing on the iPad, because we are trying to encourage everybody to remember it, and because it was very quiet when we asked for questions. But I was told when we came that devotees do have questions. Otherwise, I'm happy to read and do whatever we will normally do in the evening. Hare Krishna. The microphone is just being passed over.
Yes, Maharaj, we have many online questions, and I'm going to ask them now. Okay. So first, some questions from Russia. Just a minute. So first question from Dhananjaya Prabhu from Tomsk. We have a question about tolerance. Once in the lecture, Srila Avadhut Maharaj said something like this: angels' tolerance gives a demonic power. So what is the real tolerance, which is not just suppressing negative response on the situation and doesn't lead to some kind of emotional blowout in the result? Thank you very much.
Actually, I mean, I know you're speaking into a microphone, but you're all the way over there. I really couldn't hear properly the question myself.
Okay, so I repeat once more?
Yeah, but if you can repeat it so I can hear it.
Yes, sure.
Because your microphone, no doubt, is going to the computer, but I can't hear.
So, once in the lecture, Srila Avadhut Maharaj said something like, angels' tolerance gives a demonic power.
Angels' tolerance gives demonic power.
Yes.
Demons' power.
Angels'
tolerance gives demons' power.
No, not demons.
Oh, if the angels are tolerant.
Then the demons become more powerful, is that correct?
No, I guess it's like if you tolerate too much, you gain a lot of power, like very big demonic power, kind of.
Okay. Angel's tolerance gives demonic power.
Okay, here is angels with apostrophe tolerance gives a demonic power.
If somebody tolerant as angel, that gives demonic power.
Okay, maybe we
anyway,
just stick to
Avadhut
the second
Maharaj
part.
Said that. Perhaps you should ask Avadhut Maharaj what he was referring to. I'm not sure, but Srila Gurudev said about tolerance, he said that I have seen in my life all sorts of impossible situations, and I have seen that the only way to overcome that situation was through tolerance. So I'm not so clear of the question, but when it is a little hazy like that, my advice would be ask Avadhut Maharaj quite what he was referring to, because he may have been referring to something which I'm not familiar of the background there. But Gurudev, every day, repeatedly, throughout the day often, he is mentioning in one form or another this verse that Mahaprabhu gave us, one of his only 8 verses of Chinadapi, Sunichana, Tororeva, Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtanyaha, Sadaharihi. And as we said just now, one of the aspects of that verse was it is the only way to overcome all types of adverse situations.
Okay, Maharaj, there was the second part, but I guess we answered some.
Okay, but I honestly cannot hear you over here.
So maybe I can send you the question to your Skype? It would be better.
Perhaps we should just talk by mobile phone and do SMSs.
No, sorry. It's just, okay. So
honestly, on the train the other day, I saw everybody, every single person in the carriage, maybe 2 carriages I saw on the train, every single person was either doing one of 2 things. They were either asleep or texting, doing something with mobile phones. There was no other category. Nobody was sitting looking out of the window or reading a book or talking to the person next to them. Everybody was either asleep on the train or with their mobile phone doing something.
Okay.
That's not very Krishna conscious observation of mine, but still.
I just try to ask questions more loudly.
Yeah.
Yes, I also need to read them. So, another question from Dhananjaya Prabhu as well.
Dhananjaya Prabhu, I really couldn't understand the last question, so.
Okay. Why, after some time in spiritual practice, we notice that we stop having questions? Is it some kind of false ego? That are we afraid to appear like a newbies?
After some time, we stop having questions?
Yes. Is it some kind of false ego that we are afraid to show ourselves as neophytes?
I don't know. I think that devotees do have questions. I have lots of questions. Devotees, especially now in these last 2 or 3 weeks, devotees have been asking me questions I've never been asked before. And I always want to refer the question to somebody else. So, I mean, really, we can give some perspective, some thoughts of our own, but actually in our life we've been so used to being the person who passes all the questions on to Gurudev. They're writing letters, writing emails, they're there in Nabadeep or in Calcutta wanting to talk with Gurudev, so we're taking them to him. And we've seen devotees all the way through have got questions. And many of the questions I cannot answer. I'm aware of that fully. And in one sense, I mean, that means that we know that we're infallible, that we are fallible rather, and what we think may not be the right answer, and we definitely don't want to give the wrong impressions. But Dhananjaya Prabhu, you've been a devotee for many years and you have questions, so you see, the older devotees always have got questions. And we saw with Gurudev and with Guru Maharaj, then it's the senior devotees who are asking the questions. And we are asking our questions to the more senior devotees of the family, but then the senior devotees of the family, they are the main ones asking the questions to Guru Maharaj and Gurudev. But they were both so approachable. So I'm not sure that I have noticed that the older devotees don't have questions. So I'm a little difficult for me to answer. You're seeing in that way, but I can't really answer much more than that. I have questions. Say again?
Maybe the next question then?
Yeah, if there is another question, then you can ask. And no, otherwise I have something which we can also read in relation to Sharanagati. But yes, you can ask questions.
Okay. A question from one of our local devotees. We used to think that service is done for the upper world. It must be in the mood of self-sacrificing, overcoming yourself, etc., and should not bring joy to your senses. If you are so lucky and you really like the service that you should do, is it a real service? And also, for example, if someone is washing the floor and dislikes it so much, commits offenses in his mind, cannot get satisfaction with that type of work, but actually this service is transforming him because he sacrifices himself or not?
Everything is not the action, rather it is the thought behind the action. And what we want to do is that we will be surrendered to somebody that we have faith in, somebody that we are happy to serve, and also that we will be able to be not to say necessarily saying feeling fulfillment, but to know that what we're doing, it has some value, not that I'm just being given something to do to get me out of the way. And when we come to the world of service, first of all, then we have to certainly accept more or less what is coming to us as seva, and then gradually everybody has a slot, and our slot, our particular forte, strength in devotional service, then that will come to the devotee eventually. And by their sincerity, then the senior devotees and the Lord himself, who's guiding everything, he will also guide the guide of that devotee as to where will be his or her service. But I think it's you pretty much, you'll find that everybody, when they first join the temple, they have to make some sacrifices, because how many people washed the pots at home? How many people cleaned the floors at home? How many people got up at 4 in the morning, etc., 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 before coming to the temple? So naturally, first coming to the temple, the mind can definitely feel some difficulties in making those transitions. And some of us in this room have reflected on our early days in Krishna consciousness and the quite severe initial weeks of being in the temple, of deprivation from the things we consider as normal in the world, starting with hot water or even not ice cold water, and then, you know, bathing outside with buckets of ice cold water and this. I mean, there's a lot of experiences of the devotees of their first times in the temple. But it's not that forever someone's going to join the temple and then going to be in such a difficult situation. So service will naturally come. Gurudev is always wanting that devotees will be engaged, but engaged happily in service. So at the beginning, any transition can be a little difficult. Changing a job, changing a home, changing anything can be a little difficult to begin with. So we're starting a new life in service, and then we see that the devotees, then they get their strength, and there are devotees who've been doing a similar service for the last 20 years or so. Devotees who in the early days they became cooks and whatever it may be, and found really that that was their calling, and they're completely happy in the kitchen, and the managers of the temple are completely happy with their service. So in some way, some kind of identity that are they, he or she, they are the best cook and they are so happy to serve, naturally that devotee will be there. But we also see that out of seva necessity from above, then the cook may become the book distributor for a few months, may become the driver, may become some other person out of necessity. So we want to be, as always, we want to be with those, as is described in the scriptures, that are senior to us, who are in the same line as we are, the same aspiration, and who are well wishers to us. And then when we're in that circle, then automatically they are our well wisher, we are naturally wanting to serve them, and so that gradually those initial austerities of feeling that, oh, I'm sweeping the floor, but really this is a sacrifice for me, then you know, in due course of time, two things can happen, that the mind can also feel, oh, actually I'm happy to sweep the floor because I know it's not what I'm going to do every day of the week, and if we all sweep the floor a little bit, the place is kept nice and clean. I mean, some kind of a change of mood will come that way, but also it's not that we're necessarily going to be always sweeping the floor. We'll find our service niche and our guardians will put us in that niche. And I never met Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, which was my misfortune, but from him feeling much separation, I think it was the third time I went to the temple and that I realized that Srila Prabhupada had left the world. Before that, I'm reading his books and thinking, oh, he's in America or he's somewhere and we'll have that opportunity to see him. When Srila Prabhupada, but anyhow, I'm sure also Srila Prabhupada internally in his own way brought myself and brought many of us to the lotus feet of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and hence to Srila Govinda Maharaj. But we hear from those who met Srila Prabhupada and who were doing seva from those early days, that Srila Prabhupada, he was very capable, he had very good strength of being able to engage everybody in service. And he would see the strengths of the devotees and he would see where they can serve, what they can do. And he, by his instruction, also is empowering the devotees to do the things that they were doing. They were opening new ashrams. They were doing publicity programs, they're talking with the press when they are extremely, you can say, junior as devotees. But by the order of Srila Prabhupada, they all felt that they can, okay, he's asking, then we can do, we must do. And this is how all over the world the temples have come and we have come. The millions of books distributed found their way to all sorts of corners, nooks and corners of the world. And I know first coming to Malaysia, our next door neighbors just here, then Srila Guru Maharaj sent me to Malaysia to go to Malaysia, and there we are feeling, okay, we can, whatever Guru Maharaj is saying, we will do. There's no question of not doing it. And just feeling that his backing is behind what we're doing. And sometimes I look back and think, ah, we are going to Malaysia with no money, no anything sort of thing, on a boat, because we didn't have the money for an aeroplane ticket, going by boat from India to Malaysia with nothing, then you could think, oh, well, that wasn't a very wise move or something, because nowadays, you know, we always want to make sure we've got money for a return ticket or some backup plan. But Guru Maharaj said, then we don't have any thought. And then in Malaysia, one thing happens. And the temple ran, so many things took place, but we're always feeling it's Guru Maharaj. We're doing this by his wish, by his will. So the servitor, he will try to do wholeheartedly what the Guru and the senior Vaishnavas are asking. If they're finding some difficulty, then they will adjust the way that the devotee just now is asking, oh, they're feeling it is some difficulty, then maybe I'm getting more advancement. Maybe it is true, some adjustment like this. But certainly Gurudev and Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, no doubt, they don't want the devotees are going to be suffering. They want them to be nourished in Krishna consciousness. So tolerate any inconvenience in the middle time and know that your proper place of service will manifest, will come by the grace of Guru and Gauranga.
And we have one more question, kind of similar with the previous one, but with a little bit difference. What is selfless activity? If a man has inclination for some type of activity and doing this, he feels some happiness. What is the difference between such happiness and exploitation?
Again, I didn't fully hear, but you're saying what is selfless activity?
Yes. If a man has inclination for some type of activity, and by doing these activities, he feels some happiness. What is the difference between such happiness and exploitation?
Oh, the difference is you are doing selfless service. You are doing service that's been asked of you, and you are also happy to do it. But in the material world, then happiness is done by things that you want to do. I'm going to do this to make me happy. But this you are doing to satisfy those senior to you.
What if you are not to ask? What if you are not asked to do that, but you would prefer to do that because you feel some happiness coming from that particular engagement? And someone may ask to do something else, but you're very attached to that particular engagement because it gives you some satisfaction. I think it's more in that kind of...
Well, you can express to your seniors, but I mean, ideally, everything will go smoothly. The servitor will be comfortable in their service, and the manager of the service, which ultimately comes to Guru, will be needing you to do that service, not that it's something which is irrelevant and just keeping you out of mischief, as it were. So also we can express to our seniors and say, oh, I don't think this is very suitable for me, for this reason or that reason, but something else may be better. But we won't assert to our seniors. I think this is the way to see. As far as possible, just what we are asked to do, we'll do. But if we find something we find is very difficult to do, then we can express that. Srila Govinda Maharaj did not like to go out distributing books. And he would come back every evening and he would more or less express this to Guru Maharaj. This is in his own, by his own statements. And then each evening Guru Maharaj would tell him, you are not going out for you, you're not going out for anything of your own matter. You're going out to do good to them by getting some energy from them to use in that will be used in seva. So try to see what it is that you're doing. And then Gurudev said, every day Guru Maharaj will tell me, and every day I'll forget. I'll come back, I'll be unhappy, like this. But again and again, going out, and as most of us know, Srila Prabhupada was the very first book distributor of Back to Godhead magazine, Srila Prabhupada's flagship magazine that got translated to so many languages and went around the world. He was the first distributor, apart from Srila Prabhupada himself, of that magazine. But we can express, and how Srila Govinda Maharaj, how he started doing the tours in India. He started that by his expression to Guru Maharaj, saying, you know, Guru Maharaj, I don't find it easy to beg and collect this way, but perhaps if we could do tours, devotional tours in India, then we'll collect money, we'll collect funds by charging for the tours. At the same time, we'll go to holy places and give some association to the people. So in this way, if you give your permission, I can try. And Guru Maharaj heard that suggestion from Srila Govinda Maharaj, that he's saying that really I find so much difficulty to collect, just to go and get donations as such. But this way, maybe it is possible we can do something, some collection for the temple and do something good for the people. And Guru Maharaj says, yes, you can try. When Guru Maharaj gave the guidance to, wherever you will go, it must have some connection with Mahaprabhu. It must have some connection with our Gaudiya line, not just randomly. In India, there's unlimited holy places. Unlimited holy places connected with all sorts of things. But to keep it in connection with Mahaprabhu. And this is what Gurudev did. And Guru Maharaj is very happy. So much so, Guru Maharaj himself, we know, went on at least one of those tours. I'm not sure how many times he went and accompanied the party, but we saw the other day that picture of Srila Guru Maharaj in Badrik Ashram, up at Vyasadeva's cave. That year, he asked Guru Maharaj, this year, you stay and look after the mat. I shall go with the devotees. I've got a sleeping leg, excuse me.
From the practical point of view, it's the responsibility of the senior devotees who are somehow responsible for others to notice certain inclination of other devotees, and then they will engage them properly in order to generate more seva.
Yes.
So naturally, yes. Someone sees, for example, everyone sometime, when you come to the temple, you're giving a very simple service, a potato peeling, cutting the vegetables, or sweeping the floors, and you do it for a while, and then seniors, they're observing you, and seeing some qualities, they try to engage in something else, and when they get the confirmation that, oh, this person can do that, then you're directed in that direction. That's from the practical approach, right? I guess.
Sure, and allocating service is also a service. If you have a ship, but you don't have a captain, if you have a ship, if you don't have a quartermaster, if you have a ship, you don't have a cook, if you have a ship, you don't, you know, everybody's got their particular service, and it is one kind of service to be able to engage others in service. And as I say, this is what I've heard so much about Srila Prabhupada, that he was very expert to engage. He can recognize the quality of this person, the quality of this person, and very quickly get them engaged in how in a productive, fruitful way for the mission, for his purpose, and naturally that will bring full nourishment to the particular devotee. And every case is individual. This, we are giving some general idea.
A couple of more questions?
If they're ones I can answer.
I hope so.
Somebody can say I can answer them or not. Or even if I cannot answer them, the questions are for the floor, and the cameras do have swivel heads on them. Yes, tell me. Ask me.
So, it's from Dhananjaya Prabhu and Malini Didi again. It is said that there are seeds of karma, springs, and fruits.
There are what?
Seeds of karma.
What?
Seeds of karma.
Seeds of karma.
Yes, and also plant or springs and fruits. Wow. So sometimes it's very difficult to be with devotees and serve because of the previous bad karma. And sometimes there is a choice to keep on serving with the risk of committing offenses because of some aspects of your bad karma, or to avoid association of the devotees for some time. Are there some criteria that can help us to make up our mind in this case?
So this is a question of how to relate harmoniously with the devotees, more or less, because actually the seeds of the unmanifested karma we can't see. We can't see what's around the corner. We don't know what's just going to come up, and those that are sprouting we may not even recognize also, those that are manifesting. But the point is that devotees, we are all in the material world, and so we are all have fault, we all have anattas, we all have things which can be criticized. There are so many things in the material world which we know can clash with each other. But we have to see the devotee element in every devotee, not the undevotee element. We need to see the devotee element. And Gurudev told that every Vaishnava, everybody, why everyone is here and not somewhere completely different? They've all got some faith that what we're doing, it is the proper thing to be doing, chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in seva. And Gurudev said, maybe somebody has 5% devotion and 95% other matters, and maybe 95% devotion and 5% other matters. But whatever the percentage may be, it's the devotee part, the Vaishnavata, the devotional part that we will associate with, and we shall again come back to tolerate or harmonize. In some way, we will not notice, we will not emphasize and look at that, the material aspect. And if we want to find fault, we can find fault everywhere. But Gurudev told repeatedly, my religion is finding fault with myself, not in others. But not to leave the association of devotees. Rather, make an effort to adjust. And Guru Maharaj would arrange Ishta Gostis. Ishta Gosti, they would hold them after lunch when so many devotees would go off to sleep. Instead of taking rest, as they do in India so often, they'd have Ishta Gosti. And Guru Maharaj arranged it, Govinda Maharaj explained, specifically, in particular, that devotees will be there, they can air their grievances, they can air any difficulties that they're having openly to try to resolve it, but that in that meeting, he will have devotees praise another devotee. This devotee will praise this devotee, this praise, and especially if this devotee and this devotee are having some friction with each other, Guru Maharaj will have this devotee praise the devotee who he's having friction with. This devotee praise him. This way, the devotional quality we shall chew and consider. And that devotional quality we will give prominence to. And Guru Maharaj also explained that he said it is a secret of Vaishnavism. He put it in this way, there's a secret of Vaishnavism, that if you chew the bad qualities of others, especially devotees, then those qualities will come to you. But if we will chew the Vaishnava qualities of others, those Vaishnava qualities will come to you. And then, ultimately, if there's a specific situation which just proves to be almost intolerable, you can say, if it does come to that, then you can also take some shelter of the idea that all the colors are in the rainbow. The rainbow is so beautiful, white is such a clear color, all these colors are in the rainbow. But sometimes you put two colors side by side and they clash. Now, what can you do? If really there are two colors which are so brilliant, and sometimes the houses we see in India, here a little less so, sometimes they're very vivid colors. Sometimes you do get two colors with houses side by side that clash. But then if truly you don't see any alternative, then yes, you'll separate those two colors so they're not next to each other, and then you have some other colors in between so that they're not clashing. But that will be up to the local manager or the guru to ascertain, or we'll separate this from here to here. But as far as possible, again, Trinadupi Sunichena Tororeva Sehishnana Amanina Manadina Kitanya Hasara Harihi. Prabhu, you were going to say?
You answer the question.
Hare Krishna.
One more question from the devotees. Is there any difference for me as an offender that doesn't have any service mood? Is there any difference in chanting the names of Krishna, Nityananda, or Gauranga?
Well, for everybody, please chant the name of Krishna, please chant the name of Nityananda, please chant the name of Gauranga. If we chant the name of Gauranga, Nityananda will be very happy. If we chant the name of Nityananda, then we can get, pray for his grace all the way through. And they all want us to chant the name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, difference is that our initiation, our gurus have told us, chant the names of the Panchatattva, known as the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, which includes Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gararha, Srivas Adi, Sri Gaura Bhaktivrinda. And our initiation is chant that, and then you chant Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And not that we will think we are an offender, so we will not chant the Maha Mantra, we will only chant Nityananda's name or Gauranga's name. But there are many names of the Lord, and out of all the names of the Lord, to chant the Maha Mantra, to chant Gauranga's name and Nityananda's name, if you can fill your day 24 hours a day with those names, you are a very rare and fortunate soul. And that book, The Nectarian Glories of Nityananda, a small book with a big content of Srila Bhaktisunda Govinda Maharaj, that book is a wonderful description of the hope that we are getting by seeing Nityananda's magnanimity. But Nityananda is bringing everyone to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga. And Gauranga is bringing everyone, opening the door to Radha Krishna Leela. So it is all intertwined. Hare Krishna. Usually in the morning we read from the book, in the evening we read from the book. And people don't ask me many questions.
Well, you're answering very, very clearly. Everyone can understand.
I do not know.
Just one last comment.
Just one question. I know I've heard just one question a few times.
No, no, it's not a question.
Oh.
Ananya Bhakti from Moscow. She tells, Dear Maharaj, please accept my Dandavat pranams. We with Bhakti Lalita Didi and all Russians and Ukrainian devotees are waiting for you on the festival.
Acha. Today Krishna gave my visa for Russia, so maybe Krishna will allow me to come for the festival to get your association, the association of you all there. So it will be, everything is new for me. But we are feeling here, we're feeling when I was in Malaysia just now, everywhere we're going, we're feeling we are in different rooms of Gurudev's house. So I look forward to having your association in that room of Gurudev's house too. And how happy Gurudev was. His story is coming back. I was never fortunate enough to be with him when he was there in Russia, but Gurudev, you all know, is the best storyteller in the world, and he told many stories about St. Petersburg, about Moscow, about Russia, and how during his very last visit, physically, that he went there, that Krishna fulfilled one of his wishes, even though it was completely out of season, perhaps even August, was it? August or September? Oh, beginning of October. Okay, a little out of season, but Gurudev, he was thinking, in Russia, one day I must see the snow falling. And he never saw the snow falling until the very last day or the day before he was going to leave from Russia. And on his last visit, then Gurudev, so happy, then St. Petersburg Temple, Then the devotee said, "Oh, Gurudev, big problem. Now it is snowing." And Gurudev, he said, "Even though it is the wrong season, it's much too early to snow." And Gurudev was so happy, and he went out. He said, he went out in the snow, right? He went outside into the snow. He said, "Oh, I wanted to see the snow, and now Krishna, he's let me see snow falling on this, my last day in Russia." But Gurudev is so happy with the St. Petersburg temple, the Moscow temple, the Jagannath Express restaurant, with all the devotees. And of course, here in India, well, I'm not quite here in India now, here next to India, but in India, then, well, of course, we met so many of the family with Gurudev. So I'll be reminded of Gurudev by meeting you all there. Hare Krishna. And Srila Goswami Maharaj is not here today, which is why you've only got me. He's in Bangkok today for some service duties. So I'm sorry you only have me today. Silence in the room.
Very happy,
Maharaj. The devotees are very kind and encouraging. Hare Krishna. Well, I can read a little bit which was connected with where we began today. This shloka that we've heard the glories of from Srila Govinda Maharaj so intensely, the shloka composed by Guru Maharaj, Bhagavad Bhakti Taha Sarvam Ityutsrijya Vidhe Api Kainkaryam Krishna Padai. What? Krishna Padai. Ashrayatvang Sharanagatihi. From the first chapter of the Prapanajivanamritam book. Then I have a small part here. It is from Srila Guru Maharaj's book from his talks, Sermons of the Guardian of Devotion, volume number 3. Here there is a question. Here is a question to Guru Maharaj. Now you can hear a question and a solid answer, a good answer. So anyway, a devotee is asking Guru Maharaj, Srila Shira Maharaj, Srila Guru Maharaj, what inspired you to compose the book Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam? And here in our temple, we've been hearing about Prapanna Jivanamritam quite a lot. So it seems relevant, and this a verse from Prapanna Jivanamritam. So Srila Guru Maharaj then answered to the devotee. He'd been talking before about coming out from the actual mission of the Gaudiya Math, the society as such, the kind of official society. Then he said, much later, when I left the association of the disciples of our Srila Prabhupada to live alone, I felt some sort of helplessness within me. I knew that Sharanagati, surrender, is the indispensable necessity in the life of a devotee. And I felt, I have left, or somehow or other I am excluded from the company of Srila Prabhupada's association. I am helpless, but Sharanagati may come to my relief. This is what Guru Maharaj was thinking. So I especially came to think, Guru Maharaj thinking, again saying, Sharanagati is the basis, but what is Sharanagati? So Guru Maharaj telling, continuing, answering, he says, on reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book called Sharanagati, this point impressed me most. He wrote, Shad Anga Sharanagati Hoibe Jahara Tahara Pratana Shune Sri Nanda Kumara. Which means, if you want Nanda Kumar, you must have this sixfold Sharanagati. And the six limbs of Sharanagati are acceptance of the favorable, rejection of the unfavorable, full confidence in the Lord's protection, embracing the Lord's guardianship, full self-surrender, and surrender in humility. This is the six limbs of Sharanagati given in the scripture. So Guru Maharaj speaking, I wanted to culture that. So at that time, after coming to live alone, I recollected all I had imbibed from my mat life and also consulted about Sharanagati in Hari Bhakti Vilas, in Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandharva, and in Ramanuja Sampradaya's writings. I then tried to collect it all together and arrange it in a particular way as I thought best. In this way, I began to write the book Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam, so that it may also help others who might come in such a position as mine. That was the real reason. Then the devotee asks, what is the meaning of its title? And then Srila Guru Maharaj replies, the title, Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam, means Prapananam Jivane Amrita Svarupang. It means the nectar in the life in the surrendered souls. The nectar in the life of the surrendered souls, rather. This was my conception from the beginning, Prapanna Jivanamritam, that those who have come to take this, to feel it, that this will be like nectar to them. To those who have surrendered, it will be nectar to them. But others, the ordinary people, may not appreciate it. And them here is in italics. I mean, Guru Maharaj, it will be like nectar to them, those who have surrendered to them. It will be the nectar in the life of those who have surrendered, those who have the real adhikar, the proper qualified standard of faith to receive it. Srila Jiva Goswami wrote, quote, those who have faith in the Veda, in Srimad Bhagavatam and such things, they are to read this book. Otherwise, I put a curse that those who do not have such faith should not come to read my book. This is Jiva Goswami saying this. Jiva Goswami has written in such a way that you unbelievers won't come to touch my book. You who are unbelievers, it is not meant for you. It is only for those who have faith in such things. Others are discarded. You, the ordinary public, are discarded. You must not touch my book because you will misunderstand it. This is Jiva Goswami. This is also a custom of proper behavior. If one goes to venture to read such things, at least he must approach with some caution and not with the mood of curiosity that, oh, why does he say this? Because that will be dangerous. So, adhikari nirnoy, that whoever will come to read the Veda, if he has not attained the standard, he will misunderstand or mutilate it. Anyhow, I won't read a long way, but actually when I read that, then it also, I think, supplies some answer to some part of the question that came a little before about what we are doing. But is it by our wish or by the wish of above, even if I may not be so happy to do that thing? But the basis of our life is Sharanagati, it is surrender. And then here in our community, we've been reading too from Srila Gurudev's book about how Sharanagati depends upon faith. So we have to develop our faith in order to make our Sharanagati real and not just show bottle or some other thing. We want everything to be substantial. And Guru Maharaj here very openly saying why he came to write that book, Shishi Prapanna Jivanamrita. And that book, Srila Gurudev, has given so much emphasis and so much praise and glorification to Shishi Prapanna Jivanamrita. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's secretary, if you read the, it's either foreword or introduction in the book, you'll see it's mentioned there, that Srila Saraswati Thakur's secretary, he used to read every day from Bhagavad Gita, religiously. We are religious people, but he used to read every day from Bhagavad Gita. But when Guru Maharaj produced that book, published Shishi Prapanna Jivanamritam, after that he was so drawn to Prapanna Jivanamritam that every day then he would read Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam. After all, Bhagavad Gita essentially ends with Savadaman Parityaja Mamikang Sharanang Vaja Ahang Tvang Savapabhavyo Moksha Yishyami Masuchaha. And the beginning of this book is surrender. The beginning of the Prapanna Jivanamritam is surrender. So today we've heard this highly glorified verse of Srila Govinda, of Srila Sri Ramaj, highly glorified by Srila Govinda Maharaj from Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam. The first chapter, they are largely slokas composed by Guru Maharaj explaining about Sharanagati, the importance of Sharanagati, and then this book is divided into the six limbs of surrender, as Guru Maharaj just now explained, that this struck him very much, that sloka from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book about the six limbs of surrender, and he has presented those very strongly, sweetly, substantially from the scripture. Guru Maharaj has presented those with his own links between those verses in this book, Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam. Beautiful, wonderful book. Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat. There. This is a new book, look, gold cover, best paper that they could buy at that time, printed in Germany on the best printers at the time. Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat. And Guru Maharaj receiving the book with Srila Govinda Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Rokkak Sridha Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. And Jai Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. And here Jai Sri Giriraj Govardhanju ki jai, watching over us, silently seeing everything we do, and accepting this affectionate service of the devotees here.